You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Well, greetings and welcome to the Gym Class, another edition for a Monday coming your way here on KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Ben on the other side of the glass, and our great listening audience out there. We do appreciate you tuning in each and every day. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union here on the Gym Class. DuPaco Community Credit Union, find out more by going to their website at dupaco.com, and you can also go to our website at kgymradio.com. and learn more about them. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to dupaco.com. We got a great show for you. We'll look back on the weekend that was in the world of sports. We'll take a look at both Iowa and Iowa State, both successful. UNI almost pulling out a thriller as they took on number one South Dakota State. The NFL weekend, and a whole lot more. 319-366-1600. That is our text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. And also, that is the phone line, 319-366-1600. Coming your way at 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio app, stream, mobile app, etc., etc., etc. Good afternoon to you. Did you have a good weekend?
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon to everyone. And I did. So much homework to do on the weekend, Scott, as you know, between high school, college, professional football. It was a fun weekend, a lot to take away from it, and we'll dive into that from the Iowa State UNI perspective, maybe a little NFL, but yeah, it was fun, and don't look now, we're heading down the home stretch.
Yeah, we are heading down the home stretch. Three more games remaining for most major college football teams, a few have more. By the way, we'll get to that here in just a little bit, a little tidbit about the college football postseason coming up. We will talk about that. But we are burying the lead, though, Mark. We are burying the lead today, and that is happy college basketball to everyone, men's and women's, as most men's teams, most of them getting underway tonight. Most women's teams getting underway tonight as well. The first final rolling in, by the way, Mark, Baylor breaking very little sweat in beating the Delta Devils of Mississippi Valley State, 117-53. Fine win today for the fifth-rated.
That's a men's game.
That's a men's game. Fine win for the Baylor Bears today. Right now, Stanford leading the University of the Pacific 86-76. So that's a little bit closer, a little bit closer right there. Prairie View A&M with the win today as well. Got a lot of things happening. That's men's basketball. Women's basketball already in the books today. Bill Fenley and the Iowa State women with a win at home, 87-54 over Cleveland State. They had their annual morning game at Hilton Coliseum to start the season. Also in women's basketball today in the Big Ten, Nebraska, 22nd rated, all over Nebraska Omaha, 100-36. Welcome back, college basketball.
We're going to get a lot of these lopsided games in the next couple days, but some good matchups later in the week and then beyond. Iowa men open against Bethune-Cookman.
Yep.
Here in about less than 3 hours. Iowa State men, and I think Iowa State, UNI, and Drake all in action, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. Everybody in action. UNI will take on Wartburg coming up tonight, and that game does count as far as the standings are concerned. That one will be at the McLeod Center. Iowa State will have their game tonight at 6 o'clock for you with a 7 o'clock tip-off from Hilton Coliseum. Iowa State will take on Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis, affectionately known as Ooey Pooey to the basketball world.
So just change the name, like Kansas City and
to
Omaha.
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. Yeah.
And then there's also IUPUFW.
Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne. Yeah, it used to be Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Used to be Nebraska, Omaha. I know I said Nebraska, Omaha for the women. I apologize if you are an alum. But, yes, it's now Omaha. It's now Milwaukee. Same thing with Missouri, Kansas City. The Fighting Roos used to be Missouri, Kansas City. Now they're just Kansas City. Chattanooga the same way. Yes, I agree. Why not? Well, because there is a University of Indianapolis, Mark. Can't do that. There you go.
Well, do something.
If you have an answer, 319-366-1600. There you go. College basketball is back, and that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. But football on our mind here. Tomorrow night, the second college football playoff poll will come out. It's going to be looking a whole bunch different than it was this past week. Great games up and down the line. Alabama LSU was maybe the game of the year as far as college football is concerned. Certainly in the top three right there. You said it. Many people have said it. I believe it. Defense wins championships. Defense travels, Mark. Georgia showed Tennessee exactly that on Saturday down between the hedges in Athens as Georgia won that big game.
Did, but Tennessee, I don't think, is going to suffer a whole lot. Maybe drop to 5 or 6. I know Tennessee is 5 in the polls today. Clemson dropped precipitously.
They looked, I think they were exposed.
Yeah, and Notre Dame handled them. TCU's going to be in the Final Four right now. But then TCU has to go to Texas this week. And that's going to be one of the games we pick on the Emo's Hideaway Pick 6. So, very fluid situation.
It is a very fluid situation out there. 319-366-1600. Iowa, well, let's start there. The Hawkeyes and Purdue as Iowa goes to West Lafayette and gets the victory on a windy day, a little bit of a rainy day as well. But Iowa comes through in a big, big way. Caleb Johnson, ladies and gentlemen. Caleb Johnson, 200 yards right on the button. Iowa does not allow the vaunted Purdue offense and passing game and Charlie Jones to get into the end zone in a 24-3 win. I thought a whale of a performance, especially on the defensive side.
It was for the second straight first half anyway. And Iowa, let's face it, didn't have to do much in the second half on offense, as it turned out. 24-3 Iowa victory. Spencer Petras was once again very, very good. 182 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first half alone. And Caleb Johnson, 93 yards in the first half. And it added up to a 17-3 lead. And then Caleb Johnson reeled off a 75-yard touchdown run to set the tone in the second half, and they could target Charlie Jones 50 times. I'm not sure Purdue was going to score, and they targeted him
19,
almost half that. Yeah.
19 times.
He had his stats, 11 catches, 100 and some odd yards.
But 9.5 and a catch.
Yeah.
He did not hurt Iowa.
And that included a 41-yarder. So, I mean, David Hudson, was it Purdue's whole game plan to throw it to Charlie Jones on every single play? Pretty close to it.
I'd say pretty close, but they wanted Charlie to get his. And Charlie's an integral part of that Purdue offense and the Purdue game plan. No doubt about that. Weather, certainly the wind, you got to say helped Iowa. There's no doubt it helped Iowa because Purdue does not have the running game and the rushing wherewithal that Iowa does. The thing I'm going to take away is the defense and Caleb Johnson. Right now, Caleb Johnson, by the way, a couple of awards. I don't want to take them away from your scoreboard.
No, you're good. You're good.
As well, he should this week with the 200-yard performance there. But it's Caleb Johnson's running back room right now, right? If you're LeSean Williams and Gavin Williams, what are you thinking at this time? This kid's a freshman, and he's going to get the ball for the next 2 years, right? Am I wrong on this?
No. First 200-yard game for a freshman since Marcus Coker. And today on Iowa's depth chart, and we've talked about how accurate that may or may not be, but Caleb Johnson today is listed as the number one. He had been number three, but he kept starting and starting and starting. And now he's the clear number one. This guy has maybe not overwhelming power like a Nick Bell or anything like that. He's got a lean to him. He very rarely goes backwards, much like David Montgomery and others. He picks up the extra yard, and he's been very good. And we said after the Northwestern game that, okay, the offensive line seemed to figure something out. We'll know more against Purdue. Well, they did. Nearly 400 yards in total offense, and pretty much equally distributed between the passing and running game. Again, Iowa didn't have to do much fancy play calling in the second half. It was going to ride its defense. It was going to ride Torrey Taylor. And I found it interesting that we talked about the wind, and Iowa scored all of its points into the wind. And frankly, I thought Aiden O'Connell had trouble passing with the wind.
Yeah, he overthrew a lot of guys.
Yeah.
A lot of guys. Caleb Johnson is 6'2", 12", the freshman out of Hamilton, Ohio. And as 4702 says on the text line, Eric Dickerson-like. A lot of the same, yeah, built in that mold, if you will. People saying he's the best back Iowa's had since Sean Green. Now, Sean Green was a totally different back.
He was.
Than Caleb Johnson is, at the present time, anyway.
Can I throw out Cedric Shaw?
He is more of a Cedric Shaw guy.
Yeah.
Has those dimensions. Maybe a little bit bigger than Cedric Shaw. This is kind of the new wave. He's not a Blake Corum guy. He's not a Brown from Illinois. I mean, he's a much taller runner. Eric Dickerson's a very, very good, very, very good comparison. Now, we're not saying that he is Eric Dickerson.
Yeah, we should pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, he's not Eric Dickerson as of yet. Eric Dickerson, one of the best runners in college history and professional history. We're just saying his dimensions are Eric Dickerson-like. Did I make myself clear on that, Mark?
You did.
Okay.
You did. And I think Iowa has a dandy right there in Caleb Johnson. And not that the Williams boys are horrible by any means, but Caleb Johnson has wrestled this thing away from them and clearly has become the RB1.
No doubt.
And this is a guy who can be very exciting for Iowa in the last three games, four games, whatever it may be, and then into the future.
319-366-1600. 4702 says, yeah, he runs similar. Well, he's also built similar to Eric Dickerson. Not sure that he has had many cars offered him as Eric Dickerson did. Go back to the 30 for 30. Which is still the Pony Excess and the U are right up there. They are 1 and 2. 1A, 1B, as far as 30 for 30s are concerned. 8699 says, we knew the game plan for the second half. Purdue did too. Could not do anything about it. Iowa did what they needed to do in the second half. To maintain that lead, keep the ball away from Purdue. And they went out and executed, did their job, if you will. Let Charlie have the yards. We got the points, says 81-86. And 1477 agrees with us. Yeah, he looks like Cedric Shaw when he runs. I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Maybe a little bit bigger, though. Going to get bigger in the future as well.
Yeah.
319-366-1600 as we talk Iowa and Purdue as the Hawkeyes get a 24-3 victory. Iowa now moves to 5-4. One more win makes the Hawks bowl eligible. 5-4 Wisconsin coming in for a Saturday mid-afternoon showdown at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. That was announced as a 2:35 kickoff. Wisconsin playing better under interim coach Jim Leonard. And this thing is going to be a slugfest. This is going to be a Pier 9 brawl.
Yeah, Wisconsin banged up in the defensive line a little bit with a couple players and star running back Braylon Allen battling a shoulder injury, so we're going to have to monitor that throughout the week. But this Big Ten West is nutso. Michigan State knocks off Illinois, which had control of its destiny.
By the way, Brett Bielema complaining about perhaps some injuries that may not have been injuries toward the end of that game.
Remarkable how they come back so quickly. But right now you've got Illinois at 4-2, still in pretty good shape, but you got four teams at 3-3. And, you know, Scott, one week we talk about, man, Purdue must be the team to beat. They're playing really good. They got a schedule.
Well, it was Minnesota first.
It was Minnesota, and then it was Purdue. And it was Illinois. And now maybe it's the winner of this Iowa-Wisconsin game.
Now, Illinois has got to lose a couple yet.
Well, they have to play. Here's Illinois' schedule. Home against Purdue this week, at Michigan, and at Northwestern.
Not going to lose to Northwestern.
Iowa has three trophy games, Wisconsin and Nebraska at home, sandwiched around that trip to Minnesota. Next week, Purdue goes to Illinois. Should it win, it has Northwestern at home and at Indiana. Doable.
Very doable.
Wisconsin has to travel to Iowa this week, at Nebraska, and then home against Minnesota. Yeah.
Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Minnesota have a round robin coming up.
Minnesota, Northwestern at home, Iowa at home, and then at Wisconsin. Who do you like?
Does anyone want to play Ohio State or Michigan?
There is that as well.
319-366-1600. Two people commenting. The thing that they may are remembering from Saturday is the fact that Jack Campbell telling Cooper DeJean, do not let Charlie Jones up or help him up. That was a very interesting moment as far as that football game is concerned. I would agree.
Kind of mixed because Kayvon Merriweather helped him up one time, and there were probably other times. I didn't pay real close attention to that, but 51-23 is right.
Loved it when Campbell would not let DeJean help Charlie up. Didn't. And, yeah, that's what – hey, there were a lot of hugs all around for Charlie Jones. I thought a lot of interesting things said afterward. In the end, Charlie Jones is still keeps in communication with a lot of his former Iowa football teammates, and that's the way it should be. That's the way it's going to be. I mean, you're going to play against him once in your life, and the rest of the time, you know, he's going to be your buddy. So,
well, thankfully, we can put this whole thing to rest, can't we?
I think we can.
Yeah.
I think we can. Charlie got his. Iowa got the victory. 319-366-1600 at 23 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Before I forget about this tidbit, Mark, Brett McMurphy, who does a great job covering college football, was getting into November now, and we are getting to the nitty-gritty as far as, okay, this team is bowl eligible, this team is not bowl eligible. There are 41 bowls, Mark, this year, as you well know, which is 82 teams. And according to Brett McMurphy, unless there are some big-time upsets in the last handful of weeks of the college football season, those 41 bowls are not going to have enough teams to fill out their complement of teams, if you will. There's not going to be 82 teams that have won six games. So he is saying there are going to be some five-win teams that are going to be getting in.
And there was last year.
There have been. Well, Rutgers got in at 5-7. They got in because of a COVID situation. But McMurphy mentions three teams that he believes are going to go 5-7 that are going to get bowl invitations. One of those being the Iowa State Cyclones.
Mm.
You're 5-7. You don't turn down a bowl, do you?
No, I don't think so.
Even if you're 5-7, I mean, you get all the extra practices, right? All the extra practices are there. So I think even if you go 5-7, you're going to go bowling. But there's a lot of teams that – there are a lot of lousy teams. I'm not saying Iowa State's lousy. I'm just saying there are a lot of lousy teams out there that are going to make a bowl.
A lot of lousy bowls, too.
There's no such thing as a bad bowl. 319-366-1600. Yes, after the game, I'm sure Campbell gave him a hug. A lot of guys giving Charlie Jones hugs. No doubt about that. Lots of playing time for the defensive starters. The monkey off of Phil's back, says 1156. David and Hudson. Meanwhile, Tyrone Tracy has basically done nothing all year. If Iowa can average 20 points a game for the rest of the year, they're going to win out.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good. I think that's a pretty good prediction right there. Do you agree? I mean, this defense is that good. I'm not sure anyone's going to score 20 against them of the three teams that are remaining.
I tend to agree with that. Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
Unless you give the ball away, you know, if there's a different set of circumstances. Different set of circumstances. Razorback Dale, don't be too down on your Arkansas Razorbacks. Good to hear from you again, by the way. They don't stink. Liberty's good. Liberty's in the top 25. Mm-hmm. Liberty went to Fayetteville and beat Arkansas over the weekend in a game that was not really publicized by the SEC. Mm. By the way, before we get to a scoreboard update, national radio show today saying that the conference carousel is going to start up again as San Diego State is rumored to be joining the Pac-12. Did I take another tidbit of your scoreboard away?
No, not at
all. Okay.
And some opining that UNLV should be part of that deal.
Only because it's located in Las Vegas.
Two good markets. Yeah, San Diego and Las Vegas.
There's UNLV certainly does not have the football team to be in the Pac-12.
Not by any stretch.
By any stretch of the imagination. Basketball, they're fine. Other sports, they're fine. But this is not a football move. It's a move to get the fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada into the Pac-12 and try to replace USC and UCLA as quickly as possible.
I heard they have a good rowing team and not bad at rifle either.
I'm going to take your word for it, young man. Wisconsin is the only team left that is worrisome. Minnesota and Nebraska have been pretty bad on the text line. 319-366-1600. Going to throw it over to Mark. We're going to talk about Iowa State's win, much-needed homecoming win over West Virginia. We'll talk about UNI and the very controversial call at the end. Speaking of controversial calls or lack thereof. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
Pick your game.
Yeah. The officials had a bad day in the NFL yesterday. Let's just say that. Make a call. Make some sort of call while the play. I drives me buggy that you wait 30 seconds after a play and then fumble? Okay. All right. Whatever. Drives me insane. We're going to get to all that coming up here on the Gym Class for a Monday, but first, going to throw it over to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. What do we have?
We mentioned Caleb Johnson, the two awards he won in the Big Ten this week. He was named Freshman of the Week and Offensive Player of the Week after his 200-yard rushing performance at Purdue. Frank Reich is out as the head coach at Indianapolis.
Not surprising.
But is it surprising that the interim coach is Jeff Saturday?
Very surprising.
Whose experience includes 36 high school games? star in Indianapolis, much beloved. We'll see how he does the rest of the way. Landon Castle of Cedar Rapids concluded a very successful campaign on the Xfinity Series. A fourth place finish at Phoenix over the weekend. Landon finished 13th in the final standings with 12 top 10 finishes. And finally, on Friday, it was announced by Iowa Bill Brazier, the successful and highly thought of assistant coach under Hayden Fry, died Friday at the age of 93. Brazier was the secondary coach, defensive coordinator, assistant head coach under Hayden after he followed him from North Texas. With Brazier on the staff, the Hawkeyes won 3 Big Ten titles, went to 3 Rose Bowls, and 12 bowls overall. He is a cool guy.
Yeah, nicest guy you ever want to meet.
Yep.
And you knew him a lot better than I did, Bill Brazier. And, yeah, that news hitting on Saturday morning early, and that was certainly not a great start to game day, certainly, as far as Iowa and Purdue is concerned. But, yeah, Bill Brazier did not want any of the spotlight. He probably could have been very successful head coach, but he was a lieutenant. And, boy, his defenses were outstanding, just outstanding. Iowa's been pretty fortunate to have the defensive coordinators that they have had over the years. Am I right?
Yeah, before Norm Parker and Phil Parker, was Bill Brazier.
Yep.
And that was quite a staff that Hayden Fry assembled, everybody from Dan McCarney and Barry Alvarez and Bill Snyder ended up resurrecting the Kansas State program. And I'm sure I'm missing Carl Jackson and Bernie Wyatt and others. But Hayden assembled a terrific staff. Actually, a young Kirk Ferentz,
yep,
as offensive line coach in 1981. Brazier was really cool. Never aspired, I don't think, to become a head coach like some of the other assistants. But he was good.
We have a poll question available at KGYMRadio.com. It's brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. A big thanks to Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Deals with Monday Night Football, which tonight features the Baltimore Ravens and the New Orleans Saints.
Who wins? Yeah, the Ravens or the Saints? You can vote at KGYMRadio.com. And, yeah, thanks to Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Roquan Smith making his debut for Baltimore. Always tough to play in New Orleans, though.
It is. It is. And we will, with the Iowa State game tonight, we will not be able to bring you that Monday Night Football game this evening. But we will have instead Iowa State taking on IUPUI coming up this evening. 6 o'clock, that will be your pregame time. And just past 7 o'clock with the tip-off of that particular ball game. And, of course, Iowa State Cyclone action throughout the year brought to you by Lisa Nolan, Realtor. Once again, the Cardinal sponsor for football and the men's and women's basketball seasons right here on KGYM. Find out more by going to our website at KGYMRadio.com or to her website at LisaNolanRealtor.com. Quick break, come back, and more for you right after this here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we're going to have plenty of sunshine today, but it is going to be chilly with a high temperature around 50 degrees. Later on tonight, we'll have mostly clear skies and drop down into the low 30s. The winds will be picking up and pick up even more so as we head into tomorrow. We'll have mostly cloudy skies with temperatures in the low to mid 50s. Then it gets even warmer and windier. On Wednesday, we'll be in the upper 60s. And on Thursday, near and above 70. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code COON. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. You can combine these bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. With live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started, and you get your winnings paid fast. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So sign up today with promo code COON for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code KUHN. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
You never want to leave free money on the table, right? Well, Linn County REC doesn't want you to leave free money in your air source heat pump, water heater, or electric vehicle charger either. That's why they make it simple to get your energy efficiency rebate. If you've recently added a more energy-friendly appliance to your home, get the rebate you've got coming. You'll find all the information you need and rebate forms at LinnCountyREC.com. If you're qualified for a rebate, just download the form, fill it out, attach the necessary verification information, and get it to Linn County REC within 90 days of installation. You don't want to miss out on that extra cash, do you? No way! So get everything together, fill it out, and have it to Linn County REC within 90 days of installation. It's just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County REC. Download the forms and get specific terms, criteria, and conditions at LinnCountyREC.com.
Just when it feels like smooth sailing, your IT person leaves and rocks your entire business boat.
Network overboard!
Now who's going to captain your IT ship? Network Computer Solutions. They're ready to hop on board and keep you on course. Whether you're a tiny rowboat or a giant ocean liner, Network Computer Solutions will keep your business cruising along with pricing options that won't make you feel anchored down. Network Computer Solutions is your IT safe harbor. Meet them now at ncsei.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
We are back at 3:37 on the Gym Class program for a Monday here on KGYM. We'll let you know the results of our Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 for you coming up here in just a couple of moments. It was a spirited competition this past weekend, and we'll let you know who our winner was coming up here in just a little bit. Been talking about the Hawkeyes and Spencer Petras and company getting the victory 24-3 over the Purdue Boilermakers, and Spencer as well showing some nifty footwork in that game. He did well. Like you said, he was terrific.
Petras or Wagon?
Wagon?
Wagon.
Spencer? Oh, Petras.
Okay. He did.
Although I would imagine our man Spencer in his day would also wow them.
Had some moves.
Yeah, why not, man? Also having some moves and really in need of them. That would be Iowa State, as Iowa State defeats West Virginia 31-14. Cyclones get their fourth win and first in Big 12 play and send West Virginia to 3-6. And I think from all indications, West Virginia may have a new coaching staff next year. But that remains to be seen, and that's something to think about in Morgantown in the near future. But Iowa State gets their fourth win. Now Iowa State gets ready for a huge game on the road. A lot of people think Iowa State's got a chance going to Stillwater this weekend to take on Oklahoma State, a suddenly reeling Oklahoma State Cowboy team.
Yeah, it was really stumbling. Got drilled by Kansas State and lost this past weekend. And that's pretty much a pick 'em game in Stillwater. And Iowa State has to be feeling good about itself after a good performance, especially in the second half. Got the running game going with Deion Silas. And that obviously helps the passing game. And the defense was there again, only gave up 14 points. And very pivotal game for Iowa State this weekend.
if they want to get into a bowl at 6-6, it is very pivotal. And yeah, Silas got the big runs. Cartavius Norton, though, he was the main guy. I know Brock has been injured a lot of the season, but that's going to be a very interesting running back room in Ames coming up in the offseason as well. Now, with and like we talked about with Iowa, as far as what's going to happen with the Williamses, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
We got to live. You have to ask these questions now in the age of the transfer portal. Am I wrong about that?
Not at all.
I mean, does Brock stick around Ames, knowing that Silas and Norton are coming up the depth chart and getting a few more reps than he is? That's a question you got to ask. But is it, by the way, Xavier or Xavier? I know it's Cedar Rapids Xavier. We know that. Xavier Musketeers, but now everyone's calling him Xavier.
It's Hutchinson.
Do we have to go with Nico and now Hutchinson? Well, Hutchinson was good. 10 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. In the game. He continues to do magnificent things for Iowa State. He was good. He was very good. And Iowa State fans will get one more chance to see him at home coming up when they take on Texas Tech in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, his return to Iowa State was very welcome, and he's proven out, I think, leading the country in receiving catches, if not, you know, in the top three. He's been that good, and he's going to need to continue to be that good for Iowa State to post another win or two.
Yeah. Going to be all Big 12. Might even find his way to some All-American teams. I'll have to wait and see on that. But speaking of that, before we get off this this subject here, Heisman Trophy picks, they are all over the board right now. A lot of people saying Bo Nix from Oregon, who looked awful in the opener against Georgia. I mean, C.J. Stroud's stock has gone downhill a little bit. The receiver at USC is going way up right now. You know, Hooker was the guy, I think, in the lead until Tennessee went to Georgia and ran into a really, really good defense. This is about as wide open as of a Heisman campaign as we have had in a long, long time.
It's as fluid as the polls are, right? And I thought Hooker was the front runner going into the Georgia game, but then we know what happened there. It wasn't all Hooker's fault. Still a wonderful quarterback. Maybe it's C.J. Stroud that rises up, even though Ohio State struggled against Northwestern. Maybe it's C.J. Stroud that comes out on top. Ohio State quarterback.
I don't know.
Yeah?
He's been pretty good and very, very consistent. Very, very consistent. Yeah, it's going to come down the last several weeks. And like you said, whoever has kind of the – whoever takes this bull by the horns in the end, if you will, is going to come up with – that award, and it's going to be very, very interesting. 319-366-1600. We had a question earlier on, Mark, on the text line about UNI South Dakota State, as the Panthers had a chance to take down South Dakota State and get a really big win to solidify getting into the FCS playoffs. Now, UNI will conclude their regular season by going on the road to Vermilion to take on South Dakota, a South Dakota team that is very down this year. The Coyotes are. UNI hopefully should get a victory on the road. The UNI playoffs basically start this week. They have to win in order to get in. You kind of throw that D1 game at the beginning of the year against a really good Air Force team, by the way, out the window. UNI is going to end up 6-4. They're going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to have to go on the road and play a pretty tough team in the first round, but that remains to be seen. 8077 asks, can you explain the leaping penalty at the end of the game? If people did not see it, it was a tie ball game at the end, Was UNI ahead? No, UNI was ahead, weren't they? I'd have to look. Anyway, South Dakota State was kicking a field goal, about a 37-yarder, to win the game. The field goal was missed, but a penalty flag was thrown, and you and I got a personal foul tagged on them for leaping. And it is a very, very tough call for officials. And what they call, you cannot nowadays, you used to be able to do this, Mark. Everything was fair in love and war and field goals back in the day. But now, in modern day football, you cannot leap over the line and try to block it in that fashion. You can jump, but you can't leap over a player.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the UNI special teams guy for leaping. I thought it was a good call. It's a stinky call. You hope it doesn't cost UNI a playoff bid in the end. Who knows if they would have won, you know, whatever the case may be. It was a tough call, but I think it was a good call.
I think so, and Mark Farley, during the course of his career, has had problems with field goals before. Remember the Iowa game, you and I blocking two field goals, having two field goals blocked, I'm sorry.
It would have been an overtime game then. It was 31-28, South Dakota State won.
Yeah, but I think, despite the loss, you and I, this is going to be good for the resume. Playing you and I to the bitter end, or playing South Dakota State to the bitter end, number one team in the country, should it handle matters against South Dakota? I think it has a plenty good enough resume to get in. And you and I got in last year at 6-5 and won one or two games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
22-35 does not agree that he leaped over the guy, the South Dakota State player. Well, the only guy that has a vote threw the flag, unfortunately. I would have loved to have seen you and I take that to overtime and have a chance to win. It was 28-28 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And Panthers have been playing very good ball as of late. Unfortunately, that was the call. Got another shot at it, and he drilled the second one, of course. 10 yards closer to win it for South Dakota State at 31-28. But it was a tough pill to swallow. But take care of business, like you said, against South Dakota, and I think everything's going to be okay.
I think so, too.
Thanks, especially when you play in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. I think you and I will be in without any doubt. 319-366-1600 here in the Gym Class program on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us today. We do appreciate it. We'll talk to Cal Eldred coming up tomorrow as the World Series is in the books Saturday night, Game 6, as the Houston Astros, like them or not, they are good, and the Astros get the victory in Game 6 and win the series 4-2. Yordan Alvarez with a big 3-run home run to propel the Houston Astros.
Framber Valdez was very good as well, and pitching won the series. I think Cal will agree with that, but we'll ask him tomorrow. And congratulations to the Phillies. A great run, a fun run. I enjoyed following it quite a bit. Feel really good for Dusty Baker. I have no ill will towards Dusty. Been in this game a long, long time.
A lot of people are saying he should be in the Hall of Fame now.
Huh?
This caps off his career getting a world championship like this.
He didn't have a Hall of Fame playing career. He's a pretty good player.
He was a good player. He was a fine player. He wasn't a Hall of Famer. No. Very true. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. 8699 says Iowa State has to worry about losing him to a bigger program. Alabama could use a game breaker, so could a few high profile programs. I believe that is Brock they were talking about. Hopefully Xavier or Xavier Hutchinson. Well, he's a senior anyway. I'm going to double check on that, but
is it for him.
I think this is it as far as his eligibility is concerned, unless he has a COVID year remaining, but we're going to find that out here in just a moment. I think he's ready for the NFL. Xavier Hutchinson is going to make somebody very happy in the NFL on Sundays
next
year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Speaking of the NFL, we'll talk about that here in just a little bit after our final break. We'll kick that around and more on the Gym Class after this here on KGYM.
Back in 1944, there was a young watchmaker named Willa Dickens. He had his eye on a local jewelry store. As soon as their watchmaker left, he took the position. Worked long days, learned the ropes, and achieved his dream of owning and running Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. When his sons Terry and Tim could barely see over the jewelry cases, they began learning at his side. It's the Dickens family that gives Hertine and Stocker Jewelers its unbending reputation for integrity. They also offer a brand of service that hardly exists anymore, like a layaway program. When someone finds a beautiful something to have or give, they put some money down, pay on it each month, interest-free, of course. And when it's paid for, it's theirs for keeps. Stop by, see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. And step in and say hello to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Back with you to wrap things up here on Gym Class here at KGYM, 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in. That is the text line, phone line as well on at 319-366-1600. Pro football from yesterday, and the most entertaining game of the day was your Chicago Bears, Mark. I know it did not come out that way, the way you would like to have seen. But that was a heck of a game between the Bears and the Dolphins.
It was. I was very encouraged by the Bears' offense. Justin Fields setting records with his feet in particular, if not his arm. And this is an offense that has come unleashed in the last couple, three games. But the defense is really lagging behind, and that's why the Bears lost this game to the Dolphins. Had a chance towards the end, but all I ask this year is for this team to be competitive, and so it is. We'll see what happens down the stretch. I don't think you can say that about some other teams.
No. No. The misery continues for the Green Bay Packers as they fall to Detroit 15-9, and to make matters worse and to add insult to injury, Aaron Rodgers throws three picks, two in the end zone, all three in the red zone, or that one might have been a laugher for Green Bay. And that's kind of the way it goes when things aren't going well for you. The Packers now 3-6 on the season, and things don't get any easier as they have the Cowboys and the Titans coming up in the next two games, albeit at home at Lambeau Field.
And Mike McCarthy coming back as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, former Green Bay head coach. So there's that dynamic as well. But the Packers are beat up. There are a lot of injuries.
Yeah. More yesterday. But everybody's got injuries.
They do. That factors into things. But it's not been the season Packer fans had hoped so far.
Minnesota gets a win. Vikings 7-1. And they may have this thing wrapped up by Thanksgiving. In the NFC North, probably will have it wrapped up by then. The Buffalo Bills, man. So you had, getting back to what we talked about earlier, Mark, and no calls and calls. Apparently we learned yesterday that you can tackle players on the last play of the game on going up for a pass, because it happened a couple times yesterday. Your Bears were on the bad end of it. I thought the Jets' Sauce Gardner got away with one at the end of that game against Buffalo. But when Tony Dungy comes out and says, "We got to fix this. We got to fix this." Is that kind of the determining factor for the National Football League in officiating and what is and what isn't interference?
I've grown accustomed to it. You know, I watched that Bears game, and it appeared there was a pass interference penalty on Miami. But, you know, you have it nearly every game. And I just come to accept it, I guess, that there's going to be calls that don't seem quite right. Yeah.
True.
You live with it. Don't put yourself in that position, I guess. Yeah.
You have that, and then
Boy, some other things. By the way, for the 125th time, we found out that when you play prevent prevents you from winning the ball game.
A lot of times.
Sean McVay and the LA Rams, who had a golden opportunity to win against Tampa Bay yesterday and then decided, this Brady guy, we're just going to let him go downfield without any timeouts, and we're going to play 40 yards deep, and yeah. How'd that work out for you?
Rams aren't very good.
Not right now. Offense isn't moving, and the defense has had a lot of heaped on its shoulder at this point. And they were not the reason why they lost that game yesterday, but it looked as though the defense lost that game yesterday, and that is not the case. Quit playing prevent right there. 319-366-1600. I didn't say anything about the Chiefs, Mark. You're pointing at that.
No, it was a good win.
It was
Titans
a great win.
Titans are tough.
Every team has their, no matter if you're in college, high school, pro, whatever, there's always that team that you do not match up well against. For the Chiefs, it is the Tennessee Titans.
And you're not going to play well every week.
No. But they played a heck of a second half.
They did.
Especially defensively. They made a lot of adjustments at halftime. Held Tennessee to, I think, one first down or something like that in the second half. Made an adjustment on Malik Willis and didn't let him get to the outside, and that changed the entire game plan. So it was a good win. Good win. Tied Buffalo last night, even though Buffalo's got the advantage in the head-to-head. Pick six before we go, Mark.
Yeah, Dave is our winner, and also a winner is Scott from Williamsburg, winner of a $30 gift card to Emo's Hideaway. Quickly peel back the curtains. Three of the four panelists were picked. And, you know, Ben's busy taking down the information while people sometimes hang up. So we were lacking someone to attach themselves to Dave, and Scott came through. And he was paying attention, and he's going to enjoy a $30 gift card to Emo's Hideaway. We'll do it again on Friday as the four of us are within two games of one another. Tight race.
It was a good week for everyone. Everybody was over 500.
You and Spencer were 4-2. I was 3-3.
Yeah, we were all right there. And we'll have another chance for you to win a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway coming up on Friday. Looking forward to that. And, yeah, congratulations to Scott. Yeah, just keep calling until the phone's...
Or hang on the line. Yeah.
Busy out.
Yeah.
Just keep calling because there's a lot of information that Ben has to get. So he will get that. Tomorrow we'll hear from Kirk Ferentz. We'll hear from Matt Campbell before their games this Saturday. We'll take a look back at both Iowa and Iowa State basketball. Yes, college basketball is back, ladies and gentlemen. I am happy. I am stoked. I am ready to go. Iowa takes on Bethune-Cookman tonight. Iowa State will take on IUPUI. Talk about that and a whole lot more. And Cal Eldred will join us as well to wrap up the baseball season. We'll do that on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Have a good night, Mark. We'll talk to you and our listeners tomorrow at 3.
Will do. Talk then.
You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Todd and Alex coming your way next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
With other lenders, it can feel like they're calling the wrong plays, not Cross Country Mortgage. They're the masterminds behind perfect play calling. Go with them and your home loan experience will end in a victory parade in your new neighborhood. You're the perfect free agent to sign with the best loan originators in the game.